don't deserve to. That's what it's about. Like, I don't know. I don't even get how they twist that into
Yeah.
some weird thing. Like, why do you want to shake my hand so bad? I don't know.
If you go back in time, didn't the cowboy and the gentleman, he wouldn't even touch the
When
woman.
Japanese people bow to
He
each other,
Japanese, yes.
it's okay.
Yeah.
But when a Muslim does it,
Even Americans back in the day, they put the cowboy, take his hat, do the gesture
my
like this.
lady,
You
yeah,
remember
my
that?
lady, I know.
Yeah. So,
And then through, it's funny, and then through movies, they started having the guys like kiss the girl's hand. Like, if you go through cinema and pop culture throughout time, you can see this stuff slowly progressing. Funny enough, like at the very start of it, yeah, it was people bowing, and then it was kissing the hand, and then it's a handshake, and then it's kisses on the cheek, and now your girl's sleeping with everyone.
Went from I Love Lucy. Do you remember I Love Lucy?
I
You
don't
remember
think
I Love Lucy?
I never
Oh
saw.
man, that was in black and white. It was a very popular show. But they never kissed. They had separate beds on TV. I think it all kicked off when James Dean and Elvis Presley.
Yep. Yeah, well, they all have very similar managers.
Yeah.
So never mind.
Yeah. They had very similar managers. I can imagine probably who it was. It's the same rabbis who owns Pornhub. Though you see
Yeah,
the
I know. It's ridiculous. It's
yeah.
absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And it's funny 'cause everything they accuse Islam of, they're doing in themselves, especially with the Palestine situation. It's such a shame. Killing babies and raping women.
This is real important. This says a lot. I mean, this tweet of yours, it says stop saying you follow Jesus in bold cap letters. So you're really emphasizing this. It's embarrassing. You don't follow any of the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't do cross sign before entering a church. He put his head on the floor. He worshiped Allah. Another crazy thing, to think you can draw God. I see people with tattoos of Jesus. You telling me you have a picture of God's face tattooed on your body? Like, bro, I'm a Muslim, stuck for long. This is really deep. You can go really, we can go in so many directions with this.
Well, I'll say this. Something I really love about Islam is how specific it is. So, this translation of the English Quran, this isn't the direct words of God. It's a translation of the direct words of God. And so, when Christians are here and they're saying, this Bible is the direct word, is the words of God, like, you're just lying to yourself because this was written, what, a few hundred years ago in English that you can now understand. And then, like I said, you don't follow Jesus. Did Jesus go like this when he walked into a building? No. Did Jesus pray to Mother Mary? Did he pray to saints? So we're very specific. When we say we follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we follow him. What did he eat? What did he do? How did he have social interactions with people? How did he handle different confrontations? And that's how we know how to navigate our life, like a guidebook. And I mean, Christians are really just followers of Paul and, church heads that corrupted the text. It really comes down to it. It's that simple. I mean, the fact that for 325 years, Christians couldn't decide if Jesus is God or not, and then they have a council where they say, yeah, he's three, it's a three in one God. So all these prophets throughout time that said God is one, it's actually three in one. Like, it just boggles my mind how anybody falls for this at the end of the day. And something that it's just annoying with them is, when you're saying, like, let's say I say you need God, and then they'll say you need Jesus. And it's like, why can't you just say God? Why do you even have to attribute something to God? Do you get what I'm saying? What do you have to say? There's no saying X is God. Anyone could say that at the end of the day. They could say this microphone is God, cows are God, a spirit is God. Just say God. And that's something that's actually really cool about Arabic in itself that I just learned recently. Is the word Allah, it doesn't have a plural. You can't turn Allah into a plural in Arabic, and it doesn't have a masculine or a feminine. It's a very unique word. Whereas in English, you can turn the word God into goddess, gods, so it's much easier to manipulate it.
And the term that Jesus used, God didn't exist, that w the English language didn't exist. And he would say, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Catholic Encyclopedia Britannica, it says, Allaha. People can look this up. Allaha, Aramaic, Allah. I mean, you don't have to be a.
I know it seems so obvious. It seems so obvious, but as I was saying yesterday, I truly think with accepting Islam, it doesn't come down to pure logic. It doesn't, because logically, a perfectly preserved book in the first person direct words of God with no contradictions or mistakes, anyone logically should accept that, and that should be the mainstream, widely accepted truth. But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. I truly think it comes down to people's hearts, and then that, in a chain effect, allows them to actually understand the logic and accept it.
When you were in Medina, when you were in Mecca, you guys are falling on your face, praying to God in Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to God. This is in the Bible. How else can you mimic that other than what you were doing in Mecca and Medina? Even Mecca is referred to as Becca in the Bible. It's there. They can look it up. It's actually a prophecy. You can link it back. There's so many linking it back to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But how did that feel when you were there and you're praying like Jesus, falling on your face, praying to God?
So surreal. So surreal. It's just beautiful. It really is just beautiful. It's having those five daily prayers. You know, it's funny, like when, trying to think of the best way to explain it. People will say, you know, me becoming Muslim is a problem. I'm becoming more hateful or this or that. And personally, I feel like when I'm not practicing enough, that's when there's a problem. Like, that's when I feel my life slipping, is when I'm not waking up for the morning prayer and I'm not hitting them right on time, or maybe I'm not eating only halal. That's when I can feel myself slipping, compared to people saying that me practicing it is actually making me bad. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that by itself, it's like a formula. You're a businessman, and you know how important it is to have a formula for success, to have a plan, a game plan, right?
Yeah.
This gives us, when you look at different man-made religions, they don't have a game plan, right? It's kind of make things up as you go along. Islam has a game plan, and it's just mind-blowing when you look at it. Everything there is meant to make you a better human being. It's meant to get you closer to your Creator, to live your true purpose, and it brings peace into your life, and then you're able to be peaceful with others and the creation of God. But of course, every time the truth has come, the truth has been resisted. The same thing happened during Jesus' time to his followers. They were persecuted. We believe they were Muslims. Jesus was persecuted. Moses was persecuted. They were persecuted. But people cannot see that now. Just the same way they slandered Moses, they slandered Jesus. Now they're slandering the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah.
And his followers.
People don't understand that Islam is simply just, it's just pure monotheism. That's all it is. It's the religion of submitting to God, mm-hmm. and there being one God alone. So, I mean, logically speaking, like, what were all the prophets throughout time? What else were they? Were they Christian? Were they followers of Jesus?
No.
Were they Jewish? Were they of a certain ethnicity? No. They were Muslim. They all submitted to the one God. Mm-hmm. But if people don't understand the word Muslim, they assume it's like Muhammadism. It's like, how could you be Muslim before the Prophet Muhammad? They just don't get it. Mm-hmm. They just have to do more research. It's that simple. Huh?
You now reside in New York?
Yes.
How is it now? There's a big controversy going on with the
mayor.
The mayor. He's running for mayor.
Zamdani,
like, yes.
I don't even know his name.
Yeah, are you following this? Are you?
Yeah, I've been following it somewhat. I mean, my first impression with him was he was the only candidate on that interview with all the other people running for office.
Zohran Mamdani.
Mamdani. He was the only candidate on that debate with all the other candidates where he didn't say he would go to Israel for his first trip. So that was enough for me mm-hmm. to hear it. I mean, I didn't even vote. I didn't vote this election. I don't know. I haven't researched any of his policies, really. I know he says he's Muslim, but, like, I heard he believes in transgenderism and some weird stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he's Shia, so I don't know. You know, I don't know about all that, but
let's have a look. I think this is Joe Rogan. He's talking about him, and he mentions what you just mentioned. Let me see.
Did you watch the New York City debates?
I got involved, and I'm supporting Mr. Mamdani.
A lot of people are. Well, especially after that debate. Seems like everybody else was essentially saying, I've been to Israel more than you've been to Israel. I'm going to go to Israel before you do.
Right. I would visit the Holy Land.
I would go to Israel.
My fourth trip to Israel.
I would stay in
New York City. My plans are to address New Yorkers across the five boroughs and focus on that.
That's great. Is that what
you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That just goes to show how unpopular Zionists are today, where he won primarily just because he's anti-Israel.
Yeah.
I don't think most people even cared about his policies or anything. I mean, it's all a show at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like attack what he stands for, his policies, but it seems like it's become an open attack on him being just, he's Muslim. And you raise some good points. I think he's Shia, right? There's many things that he's doing possibly that go against, if this is true, like, you know, supporting some of these things that Islam is totally against, like the things you mentioned. But they see as an open attack now, attacking him on because he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
And then the ironic thing, you saw the whole thing with him eating with his hands, that kind of...
Yeah, world. Like the third world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know much about his policies. I'm sure the city's not going to change that much. You know, all these politicians come in, they say the same story. Yeah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lower the gas prices. I'm going to lower the groceries. None of it happens. Personally, I don't even like following politics that much because really, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point at the end of the day? That time that, you know, I would have spent watching debates and picking which guy to vote for my 1 in 10 million vote, I could just spend that on a business, make more money than whatever impact he would have had. The difference, like the money I would have made in that time just working on my business would be more than the entire difference of, you know, with the groceries and this and that. You get what I'm saying?
Yes. What are some of the common attacks, the things that you're almost like fed up with, the things that that kind of drive you nuts, the top 3-4 that when people find out you're Muslim, and then instead of saying, teach me, let me know, I want to sincere, you think like, if you don't know about something, you'd be like, is this, there's one thing, someone comes to you and they don't have a malicious intention, right? And they come say, I heard this, can you explain, is this true? Is this what Islam teaches? No, they just come right off like shooting bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then what are some of the top things that get thrown your way?
I mean, I think it's pretty consistent across the board.
Consistent, huh?
Yeah, like you, let's say the first one's probably the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him's marriage to Aisha.
Yeah.
They call him the P word.
Yeah.
Where it's like, according to Muslims, Jesus is in the highest ranks of heaven with the Prophet Muhammad. Yes. And according to you guys, our prophet's in hell because he doesn't accept a man as God.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so backwards how much they hate us compared to how we look at their God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, and just the fact that like, there's so many ways to disprove that thing with Aisha and make them understand it, but they don't care. They don't care how many different times you can explain it to them that it was a completely different time. The prophet had more enemies than anyone else, like all the prophets throughout time, and something they never criticized him on was his marriage to Aisha. If you look at videos of kids in high school 30 years ago, the kids in high school look like they're 30. People went to war at 11 years old. And like, what else do you can't have one age across the board that's objective for when it's okay for a woman to get married. The most logical answer is when she goes through puberty and is physically and mentally mature and her parents give the okay. And it's like, who's better to give the okay than a girl's parents?
Mm-hmm.
They love her the most. So the Aisha thing, I mean, they say...
You'd have to, before you go further, don't lose your place, but you'd have to condemn the founding fathers. You'd have to condemn all of the church fathers. You'd have to go down a whole line. I mean, you had before 19... Was it in the early 1900s? If you look even to this day, what the age of consent marriage is. Delaware, I think it's 7. Massachusetts is like 9, 10. It's like scattered all over. So were the founding fathers of this country also the P word?
It's stupid.
The church fathers.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mary and Joseph. We've done longer topic covers on topic covering this topic, but it just, if somebody really looks into it objectively, you can see like this is really just an attack coming from blind hate. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then even like, I mean, they call him like a warmonger and this and that. And it's like he only ever defended himself.
Mm-hmm.
He never, even when Muslims are conquered lands, it's not like you go in with a sword and you start chopping people's heads off. You go in and you give da'wah. That's how Islam spread throughout.
So that's another one. He's call him a warlord.
Call him a warlord. I get called a race traitor a lot, which is really stupid. Like,
where do they get that from? Why? Because
I'm Italian, and so I have to be Catholic.
Yeah.
But like, if I was an atheist, I wouldn't get called a race traitor.
Right. Yeah.
If I was anything else, I wouldn't get called a race traitor. But because I'm Muslim, yeah. Now I'm a race traitor. And it's so stupid. Like, it's either Jesus is God or he isn't God, and there's truly only one God. So like, what does that have to do with my skin color at the end of the day? If I was to not be Muslim, I would just be agnostic.
Yeah.
And live blindly.
Yeah. What kind of warlord comes into after being persecuted, tortured for all those years, comes into Mecca with an army of 10,000 strong and says, this day you spread the peace, spread the food. What kind of warlord does that? I'm talking about when the Muslims came back after being driven out of Mecca, persecuted, tortured, and then now they have the upper hand. There's just one example. There's just so many. Prophet Muhammad comes, peace and blessings be upon him, with 10,000 strong now. I mean, what would some of these brave hearts do? All these people out there, that people, the Alexander Greats and whatnot, the Crusaders, when there was blood up to the knees of the horses, when they come and they take over cities.
I mean, look, and even in your country, it was Serbia, right?
Yeah, you had what the Chetniks did.
Like, I couldn't even believe learning about that.
You heard those stories, right?
I couldn't even believe it. And I remember talking to family, and I'm like, so Christians, like, just massacred them? Like, and they were like, yeah. I'm like, then how? Why do you hate Muslims so much? Like, why do you not hold this consistency with your own faith? But you criticize Islam so deeply. Like, Christians are not perfect either, you know? And I don't even criticize Christianity for them massacring Bosnians and priest heads touching kids. I don't even go after them for that. I go after them with stuff like, who did Jesus pray to on the cross? If he's all-knowing, God's all-knowing, how did he not know the hour? These are things you literally can't explain in your own text. Yeah. I don't even have to go after your people. It's different logical fundamentals.
I like that. Stick to the pure monotheism, the Tawhid, we call it, that pure absolute monotheism. This is very, very important.
And just logically speaking, we have a creator that we agree is all-seeing, all-knowing. Why wouldn't that create, like, we pray to only that creator, and we give all the glory to that creator alone. Why would he be upset with us for not giving glory to his creation? Mm-hmm. In what world does that make any sense?
Yeah, we get sidetracked, and we're dealing with all of it. No, I'm saying, and this is real smart, that now you come back, you bring it back, you address these things, but bring it back to the key issue right here, worshiping the creation over the creator.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what brought you to Islam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all these other things are just red herrings, just things that are being, you know, distractions, bullets being fired to kind of get you off the main issue, the main topic. But this is very, very, yeah. I like that you mentioned Bosnia. You had 600, I believe it was 600 masjids destroyed.
And Islam, this is just like everything I keep learning about Islam, it just keeps solidifying my faith. Even Islamic war practices, it's the most just, logical things in the world. You can't destroy places of worship. You can't take spiritual leaders hostage, I believe. That's one I'm not 100% sure on. You can't destroy nature. You can't kill innocent women and children, civilians. Only, like, if people surrender, then you have to forgive them and chill. Like, everything is just so logical. It's so logical. I haven't seen anything that's truly that, even that extreme. Mm. And then even down to the aspect of, like, not exposing your sins. The main way you get any real punishments according to Islam is if you're sinning, like, ridiculously out and open. Mm. Like, what is it? You get thrashings for adultery. Mm-hmm. But there has to be, what, 4 witnesses that see it happening? Mm-hmm. So you have to be, like, ridiculously out in the open, showing, look at me with this, oh, I'm about to go do this and this and this. Just keep your sins private, and you don't have any of these issues. Mm-hmm. And that overall keeps society way more in check. Because I know personally, I've heard other people do sins that I wasn't doing, and then I started doing them because in my head, he did it.
Yeah.
Everyone can relate to this, I'm sure.
Monkey, they said it, monkey see, monkey do.
And yeah, that's the monkey part of my brain. I've done that, you know.
That's to preserve society, to preserve morality. So this is a very important point. I want to, so you had this is very important. Before the Geneva Conventions, you had the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, give instructions to his generals, not exactly what you said, to tear down places of worship, not to attack innocent people in their places of safety, men, women, children, all are off limits.
So then to just...
Who are non-combatants.
But it's the language, I think, that's the most annoying. That's what really bothers me the most. Because then they'll say, like, Islamic terrorism, when Islam forbids that.
Yeah.
That's not Islamic. And to even call it extreme, I don't like. Because if you're calling it, like, extremist, that's, to me, insinuating that those are people following it to a T. Like, they're following it the most. They're the extreme ones. When they're not even extreme, they're just not Muslim. Straight up, they're just not Muslim, these people that are doing awful things. And a lot of the times, it's not even Muslims doing this stuff. It's Christians and atheists and other people that hate Islam. And then the media just grabs a story, calls them Muslim, and then people, once it gets, you know, disproved and fact-checked, then nobody corrects themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody corrects themselves.
I want to get your reaction to this, because this this took place in New York. And I'm sure that this is one of the things that always comes back to Muslims, Islam being violent, terrorism, and the like. So this is really something that I was really fascinated to see this actually being on the news, them discussing this topic. I want to hear what you have to say.
For clarification, because as we get into this, we want people to make sure that you're not just somebody with a wacky idea.
Right.
Okay, you come with some science to you. What is the official reason for the collapse of the World Trade Center towers?
Well, we're told that the planes hit the buildings, and there was an explosion and a fire, and about an hour and a half later, in the case of the North Tower, the buildings collapsed due to structural weakening due to the fires. Mm-hmm. The problem is that we don't have large gradual deformations associated with collapses, and fires in high-rises have never brought down a steel frame of high-rise building at all, ever. And what we have, unfortunately, is the evidence in the Twin Towers and the third skyscraper to collapse that day, which most people don't know anything about it. We have the evidence of the 10 key features of controlled demolition. In the case of Building 7, it collapses straight down into its own footprint at free fall speed in the first 100 feet. It's dropping, as you can see, symmetrically, smoothly, at free fall speed in the first 100 feet, 2.5 seconds. This is uncanny. There's 40,000 tons of structural steel designed to resist this collapse.
Yeah, two planes taking down three buildings. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's actually news clips where they admitted that Building 7 was a controlled demolition. And, you know, I'm not like a structural damage expert, but you can't set up a controlled demolition in 3 hours when a natural... You can't set it up in 3 hours in general, let alone when 9/11 is happening. And then, obviously, I don't even care. We know about the dancing Israelis, where it was guys that were dancing in New Jersey watching the Twin Towers fall, where they had a construction van, and a woman called, I'm not the best one to tell this story, I'm sure you know about it.
Yes.
But a woman basically saw these Israeli guys dancing, watching the Twin Towers falling. She called the cops. Cops pulled them over. They got taken into the FBI for questioning. And when they researched them some more, they saw that the van had a construction contract at the Twin Towers for like a month prior to 9/11 happening. And they were doing like elevator work or some nonsense. And then they eventually, a few months of being in like American prison, they got sent back to Israel. They go on TV, and then they admitted that they were there to document the event.
It began when this woman was watching the Twin Towers burning from her apartment in New Jersey. She noticed three men on top of a van, posing for pictures with the towers burning in the background.
And I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked. I thought it was very strange.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli. They were turned over to the FBI. Sources tell ABC News, during a check of national security databases, some of the men were listed as having had connections with Israeli intelligence. At the FBI, that set off alarm bells.
I don't even... How do you disprove this? But I think the main thing with the 9/11 stuff is, from what I've seen, it's like they allow BS conspiracies to be on YouTube so that you know, it's mixed in some good with some falsehood. Yeah. So it just confuses everybody.
Yeah.
Because I remember I watched like a David Icke podcast.
It's called the astroturfing. Have you turned
it? That's the term for it. Astroturfing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a few years ago, you know, when I was first getting into the conspiracies and stuff, I was watching a David Icke podcast where he was talking about the 9/11 stuff. And my dad was able to, you know, disprove like a third of it. But then the other stuff was good. And when he hears that, then he's like, well, I probably just don't know enough about the rest of this.
But this one is just apparent. It's just a building that didn't get hit and it's just falling.
Structural damage. Are you kidding me? What are you talking? What? Like dust did that? It's stupid. It's honestly
stupid. The reason I think this is important because in the subconscious of every American and most people is that Muslims, Islam, are responsible for this. Muslims are bad, violent, terrorists. They're programmed to now have this in their heads, in the back of their minds subconsciously. So if this comes out now, if this the truth comes out, what do you see happening?
I mean, I think it's really out. Like, I'm telling you this. 2 years ago, if you told me this many people would be awake to the Israel situation, I would have thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You literally couldn't talk about this. 10 years ago, you would be assassinated. Quite literally. I mean, Michael Jackson in a song, he says, Jew me, sue me. And then, what, a couple months later, now he's this great big pedophile? Like, this has been very consistent tactics of theirs throughout time, where if you talk about this stuff, you either get killed or your public image is completely defamed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Personally, because there's a great awakening right now, I think that there's going to be another major attack, which they're going to blame on a country like Iran. And I don't think the people are going to fall for it. But the scary thing is, they don't need to get us into a draft.
Yeah.
They don't need soldiers. They don't have to recruit people. We have drones and bombs.
I didn't look too much into this, but wasn't there a report saying that there was something being planned that they wanted to happen, this group of people, this Zionist group, that they wanted to do something? It came out from this country. You mentioned their intelligence saying that they were planning to do something. You didn't hear? It was...
Probably. I mean, yeah. I don't even think you need to hear a news report about it. Yeah. It's pretty obvious that they're going to do something.
Yeah, like to escalate this, to keep it going.
I mean, it's so big now that Candace Owens, who's covering this like every day, she's not even banned. Sneeko got banned on YouTube 2 years ago just for having Nick Fuentes on his stream.
Mm-hmm.
Just for having an anti-Israel guy on, he got banned. And now Candace is getting millions of views, doing damage. And I think like she's maybe demonetized. Like, that's scary to me.
Now you being a Muslim now, a submitter to God, does your religion, Islam, submission to the will of God, teach you to hate Jews? Are you like a, do you?
No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, I'm not even here saying, like, we should go to war and, like, try to get this back and this. Like, this is all prophesized. This is all prophesized. Like, their goal. Jews reject Jesus as the Messiah. Christians and Muslims both agree Jesus is the Messiah and he's going to return. And to my understanding, Jews need to create, you know, these evil people in power. These aren't just like regular Jews. These evil people,
Zionists,
in positions of power. But not even all Zionists, honestly. Like, yeah, I mean, they all are good with this stuff. But it's really like the evil Zionists in power that they have to get the world in a place of fitna, like destruction and chaos for their Messiah to come back.
You know about that, right? Okay, that's like trying to expedite and facilitate these prophecies. Yeah,
yeah, they're trying to expedite their prophecies so their Messiah comes back. And guess what, Christians and Muslims, we both agree Jesus is the Messiah. He's going to return and he's going to kill the Antichrist.
They missed
who's the Antichrist.
They missed the Messiah, Jesus.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is Jews, you missed the last two prophets. You missed the Messiah, Isa, peace be upon him, Jesus. And then they rejected the Prophet Muhammad. What's funny is you can actually, like, a lot of Jews, I'm sure you know this, but they knew the Prophet Muhammad was coming ahead of time. So there was Jews in Arabia waiting for the final prophet. And when they found out he was Arab, they didn't accept him just out of arrogance. What's really funny about it all is arrogance, what sent Satan to hell, is what's sending so many of these other people too. A lot of the Christians who won't accept Islam because of the color of their skin, and Jews who reject the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because he's an Arab.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's sending them all to hell. And even like just the whole idea that it's like God arm wrestling the devil, it makes no sense. In Islam, the devil is being punished in hell. He doesn't control anything. He's at the bottom. He's not at the top with wings flying around with some pitchfork. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think this is important. And then when people study history, they see how Islam, and this comes from Jewish academics, that Islam saved the jury. You have a David Warnstein. I always quote this because now if you're taught to hate Jews, why are you saving them? Why, when Christians were persecuting Jews, they're running to Muslim lands. Muslims are welcoming them. They're being protected. And why, if your religion is teaching you to hate Jews? It's not the case. You hate oppression, people oppressing others like people are doing right now to the innocent people of Muslims and Christians in Gaza, absolutely. But yeah, this is a very important point. They were there in Yathrib waiting, and some actually did accept Islam. You had Zayd ibn Senna, you had Abdul ibn Salam. These are like the chief rabbis there. Right, they were their top rabbis, and they accepted Islam. They looked at the evidence. They said, "Man, he fits the description." And one even, I don't know if you have a story of Zayd ibn Senna. He put him to the test. He gave Muhammad a loan, came back because he said everything fit about him. I just got to test him in these couple of things. And then he gave him a loan, came back before the due date, and started to insult him, started to curse him. You guys are, you know, your tribe is the worst names. Even put his hands on him. So can you imagine now in front of all these people, if he's a war lord, what would happen? His head would come off, right? But what happens? He tells Omar radiallahu anhu, he says, look, go pay him his money and I'll give him extra because you scared him, right? So he was testing his fortitude. He was testing his patience. And then when Omar radiallahu anhu, when he said, why did you do that? He said, because he fit the description of that prophet that we were waiting for that's coming. I just had to test him in these other things, and he passed the test, and then he accepted Islam.
Like, wow, yeah. I didn't know that story. That's really cool.
This is one of the rabbis there of those rabbis that came who was waiting for him. And then there's another one, the father of one of his wives, Sophia, that she overheard the conversation. She's narrating this later, that you have now her father and her uncle. They went to go see the prophet to see, okay, is this him? They came back. And she's listening. They don't see her. They're listening. And the uncle says to her father, Prophet Muhammad's wife later said, is that him? She said, yes, that's the one. And he said, are you going to follow him? He said, no, I'm going to oppose him to the end.
It's so goofy. It really is so goofy.
Why? Because exactly what you said. Because because the lineage. He wasn't from that. He was from Ishmael, the lineage, not from Ishaq, Isaac.
Yeah, well, they had their last chance. I mean, they already rejected Jesus at that point. So then why would God send you another one? How many prophets? Why did God even send them so many prophets? Mm-hmm. So arrogant throughout history, always trying to kill them. When Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, we'll take a look, you know, picking and choosing. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. That's something I actually don't even understand, is why God even sent them so many prophets. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, so this is profound. So it's not the this is very important now that people understand this. You actually have some Jewish friends also, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just a
Muslim. Well, look, I'm going to get called anti-Semitic for this, and like there's probably going to be like an article or something, but it is what it is.
Who you have what's his name? We were talking yesterday. You have a Jewish friend, is it Aiden Ross?
I'm not friends with him, but yeah.
Okay. Your friend Sneeko's Jewish, right?
Sneeko's Jewish, yeah.
Yeah, so this is not a Jewish Muslim thing. It's this is a justice thing, an injustice thing. When you do injustice to people, obviously there's going to be people who are not going to be happy with that. So anyways, tell us now at the end, so your story, people are getting a little bit of glimpse of it, you know, the core things that you believe now as a Muslim. In summary, what did it for you? Okay, you got to go against culture, Italian background. Everything is alcohol and pork, worship of saints, worship of venerating many of the, you go walk into a church, you know, people come in and you see all these idols and statues and this is, and now you got to leave all that to be someone who's a Muslim away from all of this. You're going to have backlash.
Yeah.
You're going to probably be in trouble with mom and dad, with your uncles and the Soprano crew.
Yeah. I mean, look, being Italian is probably, I don't know about other cultures, but I feel like it has to be one of the hardest to accept Islam. Just, especially Italian Americans, because really everything is haram. I mean, every family gathering is pork and alcohol, which I can't consume. The holidays we celebrate, that the family really gets together for is Easter, which celebrates, you know, God dying and then coming back to life. And then Christmas, which celebrates God being born. It's just insanity. Mm-hmm. And then the only other real holiday we get together for is Thanksgiving, which is American, which isn't haram. But that's not even my culture. I mean, I guess that's the American side of my culture. So I don't know. It's just kind of a weird place right now. And like even going to church with family, like they go to a church where they only pray to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can't even go to church with you guys. Like, at least if you just prayed to God alone, I'm pretty sure it would be fine. Why can't you just say God? Mm-hmm. Just say God. Yeah. You know? Anyways, I don't know. Honestly, it's a big step that I have to just keep pushing forward. I have to learn a lot and keep navigating. Because, you know, with Islam, you don't have to leave your culture at all. In fact, like, there's, you know, Bosnian Muslims, there's, you know, Saudi Muslims and Turkish Muslims, and everyone has different cultures. We're just brothers amongst faith. But yeah, it's weird. Like, I guess the main thing that's going to strive my culture is, like, I guess making halal meatballs now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's something I'm figuring out, to be quite honest.
This is another important point about the culture. Things that are good in the culture, keep it. Things that are bad, stay away from it.
Right? I wish my family would altogether just stop with alcohol, you know? All the, you know, fights and this and that happening, it all happens from alcohol. It all stems from the same thing. I don't know why we can't just come together and be like, you know what? Yeah, this stuff is objectively awful. How about we just completely stop drinking it?
You have a lot of these conservative Christians, and I mentioned that yesterday, that like the Candace Owens and others, I'm seeing that they're giving up alcohol. Joe Rogan, he's not even Christian, but he's giving up alcohol.
Yeah.
So, and we were way ahead of that. When people were making fun of Muslims, oh, you don't drink, have a good time. Now people are catching up and saying, and they have a new study. You know, they used to quote that study before that, okay, a glass of wine
was good for you.
But now it's like no amount of alcohol. Did you hear?
Yeah, no, zero amount of alcohol is good for you. There's no reality where even a drop of it is okay. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that they'll say, you know, drinking in moderation is okay. But anyone that's drinking, after a couple beers, you get that voice that's like, let's get hammered. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got that voice that's drinking before.
Yeah.
So why entertain that? Why not just ban it outright completely?
Yeah.
And then, you know, after some time, like once your dopamine receptors reset, then you have fun, if not more, from stuff that's halal. Like when I'm with my boys and, you know, we're laughing and we're kicking it and, you know, maybe we're drinking soda or whatever. Like we actually have a much better time than going out and getting drunk and standing there at a bar, looking around, you know, talking to drunk girls where they're spitting in your ear and their breath stinks. Like, it's just, I don't want even to do with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like, it's actually not fun. You wake up with a headache. Okay, maybe, like, you slept with a girl. You don't even remember it. It's empty. It doesn't fulfill you enough. Like, it'll never fulfill you. I don't know. Hopefully, maybe I'll guide these people. That's the thing. Like, we're talking about them, and some will say I'm coming off as hateful. That's what a lot of family says and stuff. And it's not even – it's not coming from a place of hate. It's coming from a place of just – I just feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just – you're looking at people that are just severely misguided.
And everything you're talking about is just many of the things, just common sense, okay? Just worshiping, not Jesus, worshiping the God of Jesus, right? Being a good human being, staying away from adultery, fornication, staying away from the OnlyFans, alcohol, pork. You don't want to get a tapeworm in your head. You know, these are things that anything that the Creator has forbidden is things that are harmful for you.
Like, I'll say something kind of personal. Like when I was younger, I was a degenerate. Like I went through my idiot phase when I was like 12 to 15. That's when I drank and smoked and did these things for the first time. And my dad would like have nightmares that he got a call that like I overdosed on cocaine or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you don't ever have to worry about any of that stuff anymore with me. You don't have to worry about me getting a girl pregnant, about me drunk driving, getting STDs of any of that bad stuff, overdosing. Like, what are you worried about now? Like me blowing myself up? Why would I? I'm never going to do that. Yeah.
And we just found out if this really continues to gain even more and more momentum, and they find out that Islam definitely does not justify this evil event that happened. And hopefully they find out that Muslims had nothing, or Islam and Muslims had nothing to do with this evil event. And now things start to, the tide starts turning. And
I think that just like how 2 years ago, Israel, talking about Israel was not accepted at all. And now, you know, everyone knows. I think that's what we're going to see with Islam, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, I think a lot of people over the upcoming years are going to accept Islam. I think it's going to be like a snowball effect, personally.
Yeah. I've interviewed a lady, Christian lady, Allison Weir, and she said the people responsible for the majority of this misinformation against Islam is purposely, deliberately put out there are these Zionist organizations.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, look at the
movies.
They
want Christians and Muslims divided. They want us all divided now and keep people scared, fearful about Islam, but we're seeing a change now.
Yeah, I mean, slowly. Social media comments. You know, there's news stations like Newsmax, Fox News and CNN. You know what's funny, too, is like Fox News and CNN. You guys can't agree on anything, but then Israel gets into a conflict and you guys have the same exact take every single time. It's owned by I always knew that both sides were owned by the same people. It's just eventually you find out who those people are. And it just clicks. It makes perfect sense.
Isn't it interesting now? The greatest star of Fox News, he's also questioning now this event.
On Fox?
No, not on Fox.
You're talking about Tucker Carlson?
Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, right?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
He brought on a former congressman, a senator, all questioning this. Before, it was something off limits. You couldn't question.
He just did a talk with the president of Iran, and people are hating him for that. Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you want to hear him? Mm-hmm. Who cares what he did? Like, I would want to even hear like Osama bin Laden have an interview with Tucker Carlson. I want Hitler to have an interview with Tucker Carlson. Why not? Why not hear their perspective? If it's crazy, you'll see it's crazy and you won't buy into it.
He's a journalist, right? That's what journalists
do. It's like Christian logic. Like Christians, they don't want to learn about other faiths because they know in their head that this doesn't make any sense. So they have to like brainwash themselves in a sense and gaslight themselves to not ever look into anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I was talking to a close friend. I was like, why wouldn't you read the Quran? Read the Quran. Like, why wouldn't you? They're like, why would I? I don't know. It just blows my mind.
Before we conclude, what advice? So what finally did it for you, okay? Coming towards now the point where you kind of had these same thoughts, what I understood. Before you met a Muslim, you had these same things going through your mind, some of these misconceptions. You meet some Muslims. And what finally did it? How long did it take you of investigating, praying to God alone, asking for guidance? What's the timeline? And finally, you're like, you know, this is the truth. I have to accept it.
Yeah, so I learned about Islam through the videos with my mom. I wasn't even doing any research.
You're learning while you're watching these videos also.
I wasn't even doing any research off camera. I was just watching the videos and people would see my reactions live. Like I learned live, you could pull it up literally right now, like Jesus is in the Quran. I had no idea about any of these things. And
were those like when you're watching, doing these reactions with your mother, and then there's something inside of you, like we had that, what we say, the fitrah, the innate disposition of the human being, you're like, that makes sense.
It was a lot of, I was telling you about this yesterday, it was a lot of things I was learning where I was like, oh yeah, I already believe this.
You just already believed it.
Yeah, basically all the stuff I was learning, I already believed. But honestly, like looking back at those videos I watched, it was a lot of trash dawah, to be quite honest with you. I'm not talking bad about anyone specifically or talking about anyone specifically, but rewatching them, like I kind of do understand why it took me a bit longer to accept Islam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially because, like, you know, my mom would be saying, like, you know, she'd say the Bible's unchanged, and then in the video they would be saying the Bible's corrupted. And so I'm like, all right, my mom, like these guys I don't know, it's just like whatever, you know. It's just like religious stuff. I always thought religious stuff was just whatever anyways. It's just like, it wasn't that deep. I didn't really like understand that one religion could be the objective truth, if that makes sense. And then over time, what really did it was, you know, Sneeko bringing me to the mosque with him. Because I always just like learning new cultures, you know. Yeah. If you're going to pray to God, like, why? I'm down to go to the mosque. Why not? Like, it's no big deal to me. I've always been cool with that kind of stuff. And then finally, once we would talk about it more, I would actually start learning a bit more on my own. So this is like 2 years after. I'd say for almost like 9 months after the videos, reacting with my mom, like I didn't really like even think about Islam at all. And I was going through like a really hard period in my life where I would be praying to God and stuff, but I wasn't even thinking about like becoming Muslim. It wasn't even crossing my mind that that could be a pivotal moment, you know? And then finally, me and Sneeko came up to New Jersey together, and there was this event going on at the masjid, and he brought me along for it. And that was where Sheikh Uthman and Muslim Lantern were there. And that's where I basically was like, you know what? I actually prayed there at the masjid during the event, and I was crying. It wasn't even something inside of me. Like, I couldn't control it. I just started bawling my eyes out. Mm-hmm. And
you realize this is it. This is the truth.
I didn't even realize it yet. No, I'm going to be honest with you.
You were just gravitating towards
it. Inside of me was pulling me towards it now. Like, this is where I was starting to feel much more of an emotional connection with just seeing the culture and all the people and, like, the men and the women split up and, like, the young kids at the masjid. Like, I'm not around young kids ever. So just seeing...
That all impressed you?
All impressed me very greatly. And then, yeah, basically, Sheikh Uthman was very clear about it where he's like, you don't worship the prophets. You worship God alone. Do you believe the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a messenger? And he was like, why not just say that out loud? Why not testify?
Say it again.
That?
Do you believe that what?
That you worship nothing but God.
Worship nothing but God.
You don't worship the prophets.
Don't worship anyone in creation, not prophets, angels, saints, nothing.
And the Prophet Muhammad is a messenger of
He's
God.
The final message, just like Jesus, Moses, and those that came before him.
And that's it. That's all you have to do is just simply say that. And then... The point that really struck home with me was that on Judgment Day, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's no saying, you know, what is my family going to think? What are my friends going to think? What about this? What about that? What if I'm not a perfect Muslim? Like, all those excuses, I was just like, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. And I didn't want to say it on camera because by this point, like, I mean, it's not like I was ever doing it for views or anything like that. But it was a really spiritual moment for me, and I didn't want to do it in front of the whole world. So I don't know if you saw this clip, but Sheikh Uthman, like, he could tell I was right there ready to take my Shahada. So he said to cut the cameras off because Sneeko was streaming. And then we went into another room, and he was like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you ready? Like, do you have any other questions before we do it? I think I asked a couple more questions, got it clarified, and then I accepted Islam right there.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's nothing worthy of worship. You could do it right now. If you're out there, that's it. You believe what we're talking about. Absolute, pure.
You can say it on your own, right? Do you need
that's
to say
it?
Because no, that's
you could
what
do
makes
it right
so much
now.
Sense. It's like, you don't need to go confess to a man. You don't got to do this.
No.
You don't got to do that.
That's it.
It's just you and God.
That's it. You would have said the same statement if you're living during the time of Jesus. You would declare that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth, and Jesus is the messenger. Today you're saying that Muhammad is the final messenger. That's it. And then you automatically include all the preceding messengers. That just makes sense.
Yeah.
And you can connect Islam to the beginning, the first man, Adam, and then it continues on. Like you mentioned in one of your tweets, Noah worshiped one God, Moses worshiped one God, Jesus worshiped one God. That's that same consistent message. It makes sense, chronological order. It's not different religions.
Yeah. And then once it really, really clicked for me that it was the truth, 100% certainty, was about 6 months in.
Yeah.
Of actually starting to pray more consistently and learning the Fatiha. And that's when I started looking into the different debates. Because I had a girlfriend. And, astaghfirullah. And it was like for a few weeks. We didn't even do anything crazy together. But she ended up breaking up with me because she was Protestant.
Yeah.
And she thought I was going to hell because Jesus' blood didn't save me. But what's funny is, like, the whole time we were talking, before I told her I was Muslim, she was like, you're so wise, talking about God.
Yeah.
And I would just say Islamic stuff. And then once she and then once she found out I was Muslim, that was khalas, that was it.
So you were wise, but you were pretty much giving her some of the teachings of Islam, but she didn't know yet, but then when she found out...
She didn't know I was teaching Islam. She thought,
made sense.
Believe
see,
in God.
That goes back
I'd
to
say the... stuff like when you ask, you know, when you pray to God, there's only... What is it? Three possible answers you can get. Yes, yes, but not now, or I have something better.
Yeah.
There's dancers never know. Like, oh my God, you're so wise. So
that's why I believe it's very important that we define terms that we use.
Yeah.
That, you know, someone asks, you know, if they ask me, are you Muslim? I say, what do you mean by Muslim? Is it that thought in your head of a Muslim, or is it what we define as a Muslim? And then.
Yeah. So, but basically what happened with her was, you know, we started getting into like religious debates, and I was like, why are we even debating? Like, we both believe in God, whatever.
Yeah.
and, you know, she'd be sending me all this stuff, and then I would be hitting up, you know, old people from when I took my Shahada. I was like, yo, like, I actually, like, I have some questions now, this and that. And then, you know, I started watching Sheikh Uthman and Muslim Lantern's videos, and I was like, yo, what? These dudes are getting, like, destroyed in debates. Like, how do you explain this? And this is where it really started clicking, where I was like, oh, snap. Like, this is the clearly obvious truth. And the veil's lifted. That's when it really, really clicked.
What advice do you have as we conclude for someone out there? They're watching, it makes sense, but then they're caught up. My family, you know, it's such a big change. You know, they've heard so many misconceptions. You've went through all of it. What would you for the sincere truth seeker?
For sincere truth seekers, my best recommendation would be to just keep it private. Keep it private or between, like, close friends, and between you and God, honestly. Like, don't go out and... I mean, I was in the position of a content creator. So for the first, whatever it was, 6-8 months of practicing Islam, I didn't talk about it at all until it was, like, boiling out of me. Yeah. I couldn't make content without talking about it because it was just such a part of my life at that point. So, yeah, like, if you're on the fence and you are hearing this, you believe only God should be worshipped, you believe the Prophet's a messenger, I would say just accept it. Accept it. Don't wait and hesitate. You don't know if you're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow and then you're going to have to face the Creator. We all know people that have died young. That could just as easily be you. And yeah, just like, if my best, honestly, what I wish I would have done better too is not even like telling anyone, but just becoming like such a better person to where my family would have to ask, like, what happened? Like, what's going on with you? And then I would say, you know, I've been practicing Islam. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's something I definitely wish I did better.
Yeah. They're seeing the change. They're seeing the positive outcome of...
I mean, I still get called hateful and stuff. Yeah. Because of, like, look at... They'll say, like, me talking about Jews and stuff. Like, this is being hateful. I'm like, this isn't... I don't think this is being hateful. Did I come off as hateful?
No, Islam doesn't teach us to hate people because they're Jews. I've had rabbis on the program and they talk about the injustice of a certain group of people within the Zionists and that. But no, I don't think it's...
Yeah, well, neither do I. Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, just keep it private. Keep it, you know, accept it sooner than later. Because, like I said, you're not doing some big fancy ritual. All you're doing is declaring what makes sense to you and you already believe. And then just take it slow. Take it slow. You know, like, you're never expected to be a perfect Muslim right off the bat.
No.
Ever. And I knew that. Like, I know some people that bugs them. They're like, how am I going to pray 5? I was, astaghfirullah, I'm not proud of this, but, like, I was drinking, like, the week after my Shahada. I'm just saying that to be honest, because, like, I was still in that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It was over time where, you know, let me pray, like, you know, once this week and then once a day. And then, you know what? I'm going to start trying to pray all 5. But, like, if I miss it, I'm going to make it up at night. And I just kept moving forward to where now I'm at the point where I'm basically hitting all of them on time.
Allah, alhamdulillah.
So even sometimes, like, I would just make little goals, like, you know what? I'm just going to make wudu before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. That's like an act of, you know, just little things, continuously pushing forward. And remember that the Quran isn't just about rules and laws. It came down over 23 years for a reason. Alcohol wasn't banned until at least, what, 10 years into the Quran coming down, being revealed to the Prophet, because God knew that the people needed to fall in love with Allah before they heard these rules, so that once they heard Allah commands that alcohol is forbidden, they'd be like, halas, okay, it's done. But it's not about just giving up pork and alcohol and this and this and this right away. It's a gradual progress. I even cheated with bacon a few times. Mm-hmm. I would be at some place, like at the airport, and I, you know, the only options were a bacon, egg, and cheese, and I didn't want to just get an egg and cheese. So I got a bacon, egg, and cheese. I folded. I remember the last time I folded and ate bacon. It was at the airport, and I didn't want an egg and cheese. I wanted protein. Just being honest.
You could say you've come a long way.
I'm just saying this to keep it real with you guys. That's it.
Any regrets?
No. Like, everyone says it's the best decision you ever make. And by a landslide.
Best decision. All right, you've heard it here. Sunny Faz, man.
No, thank you so much.
Man, really nice having you on the program.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah bless you.
Thank you so much. This was great.
If you guys like to read this book that, alhamdulillah, we were discussing, and it's helped change his life and so many, I'll get you a copy for free. Go to thedeanshow.com and you will go ahead and get to get that book as a gift from me to you. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.